We're doing the fifth and final chapter of the Avat Yisrael, where the Chafetz Chaim will discuss how we fix the sin of Chinat Chinam. Reshit lakol tzich lasir asina milibo. First things first. Person has to remove the hatred from his heart. Vaz yiter nafshom avon sinat chinam. And then he has to purify his soul from the sin of sinat chinam. Shuchal achar kach litvadot al ha'avar v'yitchaper lo. That way he could confess before his Creator over the past, and then he will be forgiven. Uchashem shebavon gezel. And just as when it comes to thievery, kol zman shelo ashiv hagzela livalav lo tiken cheto, a person stole. And every day he says, oh yeah, you regret it. But he never gives back what he stole. So then he never fixed his sin. Tafiru yom kippurim enom chaper alav. And then Yom Kippur doesn't atone for him either. Ken adin ba'avon sinat chinam. The same is true when it comes to baseless hatred. Kol zman shelo akar sinam libo legamri. So long as he did not completely uproot the hatred from his heart, eino yachol litvadot. He can't confess before his Creator. He can't continue in the tshuva process. Ve'eino mitkabder lo ha'avon hazeh. Nor will the sin be forgiven. Afilu b'chama viduyim. Even though he could stand there and say, Hashem, I feel bad, I regret that I hated so-and-so. Doesn't help. It's like a person who goes to the mikveh and he's holding the defiled vermin as he's going down. This guy is saying, Hashem, I'm doing tshuva. But no, you're not. The first step of tshuva is to stop the sin. The person also has to get into the habit of judging his friend favorably. Maybe he didn't realize that was the last piece of bread. Maybe he didn't realize I just sat down. Maybe he thought I already ate. There are so many angles of dan lekav zchut.
If he does it every day.
Maybe he doesn't know how much it annoys me. Maybe he doesn't appreciate how much it annoys me. We had two guys when I was in elementary school or high school. Best friends. One of them would always poke the other one. Every time he'd walk into class, he'd poke him. Another guy would bounce up, and he'd laugh, and that's how class would start. And they were good friends, and the guy who was always the ticklish one, he kept warning him, I don't like that you do it, please stop. And the guy never got the hint. He never understood it as much as he'd say, but he's just saying that. One day, he got up and punched him in the face. Okay? But the truth is, he never appreciated how much he ticked him off. Whatever a person does, you should try to find a way of judging him favorably. Maybe he didn't mean it, or maybe he regrets it. If you think of things along this line, and you try to judge a person favorably, then you could remove the hatred from the heart. Our sages taught, if one judges his friend favorably, then in heaven, they judge him favorably as well. Odita bechazal. Furthermore, it says in Pirkei Avos, al tadin et chavachat shetegel inkomo. Don't judge your friend till you reach his place. Sometimes a person asks his friend for a favor. Kigon la'alvot lo gmilut chasadim. For example, to lend him, to help him out. V'chavro lo asa lo ha'tova hi shebikesh menu. And his friend didn't do him that favor. Al yitragel ha'adam ladun oto lechaf chova velitlot shebishvil roa levavo lo mileit bakashato. A person should not be accustomed to judge his friend and say he's evil. That's why he didn't lend me. He's unkind. That's why he didn't do what I asked him. אלא צריך האדם לחקור אותו אם יש בידו להלוות לו. A person has to ask him, can you afford to lend it to me? תמצוי מאוד לפעמים באחד שהנהגת ביתו נהג ברחבה וממילא כולם חושבים אותו להשאיר ונגיד. It's very common that a person runs his household in a way that people assume that he is wealthy. The way he spends money in his house, people assume that he's well off. ובאמת מצבו דחוק ונורא. And in truth, his financial state is terrible. אבל מוכרח להתנהג כך, but he's forced to behave that way, או משום שלא תגרום לו הקמצנות הזק במסחרו. Either because if he minimizes his expenses, it'll harm his reputation, it'll harm his business. I was once involved in helping a certain businessman put together funds, and then he married off a child, and he made a very fancy wedding. So I went over to him and I said, I don't understand. You have loans for your business. Now you took loans for the wedding. Why don't you make a more modest wedding? He said, very simple. I have to invite all my partners. I have to invite all the people I do business with to this wedding. If I make a modest wedding, that's the end of my business. Everyone's going to come to the wedding and they're going to realize that my financial situation isn't good. He said to me, it's the same reason I buy fancy suits. It's the same reason I rent a car. I don't buy a new car, but I rent a car when I go to meetings. Because if I show up and I reveal my financial situation, no one's going to want to give me credit. No one's going to want to do business with me. My business is over. Not so clear. The guy really rebuilt his business. You know, the guy did. But he had a point. He had a real point. So sometimes a person looks like they're very well off, and we don't understand why they seem stingy when in fact they're not well off the way they seem, but they have to maintain a certain facade. And they do have to maintain that facade for their business. Or they have to maintain that facade because if people realized in what dire straits he was in, then everyone would come collecting in one day, and that would really bury him. People will all sue him the second they realize he's in a bad situation. Or people won't give him credit. Sometimes a person has children that are of marriageable age. He doesn't want to have the reputation that he's a pauper. There can be many reasons. There can be many reasons why he couldn't help you out on the day you came and asked him for a loan. A person has to ask himself, what would I do if I were in his situation? Would I be any better than him? And that's something which I often say here at Machon Meir. We don't know where a person's coming from. We don't know what a person's history is. We don't know what a person's contending with. So you see a guy and he seems happy-go-lucky and you don't know. I can tell you very often, I sit and I hear the stories people tell me about where they're coming from and I just start crying. The stories are so difficult, and people sometimes contend with such difficulties, and then you're upset at the guy because he didn't notice you when you came in for your piece of bread. Okay, his mind was somewhere else. I could tell you many amazing stories. I'll tell you one story. There was a man who was driving. He was driving, it was a day after he buried his son, who was killed as a soldier. And his mind wasn't all there. And he got into a fender bender with someone else. And the guy walks out of the car with a yarmulke. And the other guy walks out of the car without a yarmulke. And it was definitely the fault of the guy who buried his son the day earlier. And the other guy walks out of the car and says to him, you know, I understand your fender bender. I understand you don't care about me. I don't understand your yarmulke and how you don't care about the state. The guy just stood there and started crying. He didn't say a word. He couldn't answer. Just stood there and started crying. Very often, we don't know who we're talking to. We don't know what the other person just went through. We don't know, and we can't know. What we should know is that we don't know. We don't know. So we talk to people, we see a very small segment of who they are. We see the tip of the iceberg. And when we see the tip of the iceberg, we just have to realize there's a whole iceberg down there that we don't know anything about. When I was younger, I used to take the subway. It used to boggle my mind, the thought of it. You sit in the subway train, you look around you, every person has a million stories all around them. Their parents, their siblings, their job. And all you see is the face sitting in front of you. And you have no idea how much... It used to give me a awe of God to think how many stories Hashem is playing out and watching over all of them. Just look around me and see every face is different. Everyone here has a whole story behind them that I can't know. I'm sitting here and we're all on the same train, but none of us know anything about one another. But that's the truth. We know nothing about the people we come in contact with. So he says, think about it. How much do you know? How much don't you know? And there's so much room to judge him favorably. And would you do any better than him?
Seems that's enough. And it's so close to our externality. You know, like judging the book by the cover. You know, it's you. I think, you know, like,
Okay. וזה כוונת מאמר חזל עד שתגיע למקומו. That's what our sages said. Don't judge your friend till you reach his place. רצונו לומר למצבו. It means his place means his situation. אם עשה אדם חשבון כזה תמיד, אז ידין לעולם את חברו לחף זכות ויתן הצדת לחברו. If a person can always calculate things this way, then he will always judge his friend favorably and give his friend the benefit of the doubt. והנה במאמרי אלו המעטים. And here in my small, the little bit of words I've said, I've explained only a little bit of a little bit of the greatness of the sin of sinat chinam and how to fix it. אבל האיש הנבון, but someone who has understanding, אם רק ירצה להתבונן בדרכיו עוד יותר, if he chooses to analyze his ways beyond this, ימצא עוד כמה עניינים שהידי מזדרז להסיר שנאה מליבו, he will find other ways to remove hatred from his heart, ולאהוב את חברו כנפשו, and to love his friend like himself. And now he concludes the book, his concluding paragraphs are, והנה אחי וראי, now brethren and friend, אחרי שידענו כאחת ואבון העיקרי שגרם לחובן בית מקדשנו, now that we know that the prime sin that caused the destruction of our temple, וסיבת אריכות גלותנו, and the cause of the prolonged exile, who avon shesinat chinam ben ish l'reihu, is this sin of baseless hatred. Al ken kshanu rotzim umtzapim sheibaneh bet mikdashenu, when we want and anticipate that the temple will be rebuilt, mechuyavin anu letaken et asher kilkalnu. We are responsible, it is incumbent upon us, to fix that which we have ruined. Uveoto avon shechatanu anu tzichim letaken. And if this is the sin with which we've sinned, then this is the area which we have to fix. ועל פי מה שאמרו חז"ל, and as our sages taught us, עשה אדם חבילות של עבירות, יעשה כנגדם חבילות של מצוות. If a person has done packages of sins, let him do packages of mitzvot. והתיקון לזה אבון הוא שיפעול כל אחד בנפשו לאהוב את כל אחד ואחד מישראל. The way to fix this sin is if every person works on himself to love each and every one of Israel, בין בגופו ובין בממונו, with his body, with his money, ולחוס על כבודו וממונו של חברו, and to care about your friend's honor and your friend's money, כשם שחס על כבוד וממון עצמו, just as he would about his own honor and his own money. ועל זה הוזרנו במצוות ואהבת לרעך כמוך. And this is what the Torah warns us when the Torah says, love your friend as yourself. וכמו שכתב הרמב״ם ז"ל, as the Maimonides wrote, ולא לחינם נקראים אנו בשם חלק השם. And it's not for nothing that we're called Hashem's portion, כדכתיב, כי חלק השם עמו יעקב חבל נחלתו. ומלבד זה צריכים אנו לדעת, כי עניין זה של הבאת שלום בין אדם לחברו, הוא מהדברים שאדם אוכל פרוטיהם בעולם הזה, והקרן קיימת לו לעולם הבא, כדית המסכת פאה. And aside from that, we have to know that this idea of making peace between people is something that the principle is still waiting for the world to come, but you'll bear the fruits in this world. הנה באמת צריך אדם להתמונן בעצמו ולראות שהיצר מפתה אותו בכל יום מלהתעלם ומלהבין גודל טובותיו וחסדיו של הקדוש ברוך הוא ולתת לו תודה עליהם. Really, we have to notice that our yetzer seduces us daily to ignore the kindness and the good that Hashem does with us and to overlook giving thanks to Hashem over them. ואמרו חז"ל, our sages said, איזהו חכם המכיר את מקומו. You want to know who's smart? That someone who knows his own place, haynu madregato, that's his level. Ve'rotze lomar demi sheino chacham, meaning if someone isn't smart, yuchal ha'yetzer l'ramoto v'lomar, his yetzer can deceive him and say, shu nichbad, oh, you're an honorable person, umkayem et ha'torah. His yetzer can deceive him to think, oh, I'm keeping the Torah, kefi sholam achzikin oto lelamdan v'yirei shemayim. Everyone else thinks, look at him, he's learned, look at him, he's God-fearing, Shem kema Torah b'mitzvotea, he keeps the Torah and the mitzvos. Aval hu be'atzmoi mish navonu, but if a person himself is really smart, yimtza kama mitzvot she'over aleim b'chol yom. He'll realize there are quite a few mitzvos that he transgresses daily, ve'eino mishim lev aleim klal lekayem, and he doesn't even think about them. V'chen b'inyanei alavin she'over aleim, ve'eino mishim lev letaknan. And the same thing, the prohibitions, a person transgresses, he doesn't even think about fixing. והתועלת מזה גדולה מאוד. And if a person really thinks for a minute, where am I really holding in life, then there's great benefit from it. שאם יכיר את עצמו הכרה אמיתית, if he really recognizes his own place, יסור הגאווה ממנו, then he won't be proud. he'll realize where he himself is lacking, and then he will be able to come to terms with his lot in life. Why are we jealous? Why do we hate? It stems from a person's fool's pride and a person's desire to have things that he's really not entitled to. A person, if he's realistic, will come to terms with what he's got, be it the amount of influence a person has, be it the honor a person has. When it comes to everything, he'll realize he's getting more than he deserves if a person is only truthful to himself. And here we can understand the Chafetz Chaim concludes when the Pasuk says Hashem opens his hands and gives satiation to all living that desire. How come it says God grants satiation? We have a rule that a person never attains half of what he wants in life. We desire far more than we can ever attain. So the truth is, based on our explanation, it works. The sibata davar ushena adam makir tatzmo venidmeno shalpi masav yaroi liten lo yoter v'yoter ba'olam hazeh. Why do we desire more? Because we think we're entitled to more, and we don't really recognize our place in the world. A person thinks, I should have everything in this world, and don't worry about it, I deserve it in the world to come too. But Hashem knows us really well. He knows that he shouldn't really have more than that. And also when it comes to his children, this is exactly what they need to stay on the path, in Hashem's path. And so a person doesn't have to be jealous, and a person doesn't have to hate. A person has to realize, where am I for real? And if I really realize where my faults are, then I realize that what I'm getting is above and beyond what I deserve, and then I don't have to be jealous of other people, I don't have to hate them. Quite the contrary, I could love them.